From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It's 2019, and we are getting ready to enjoy this little week off that the Chiefs have because of what they were able to accomplish against the Raiders. And nice to see everybody out there. Thank you for everyone that I ran into. We have had so much interaction with people over the last couple of weeks. It's been really great. I hope you guys are set for 2019 that's going to take a step forward. Chris, are you feeling positive at this point about that step forward?
Just wanted to throw this out there for Chiefs Kingdom. I am actually going to be at the playoff game and will be not live tweeting that day. I will actually be at the game and enjoying it with my daughter. So if you are going to be there, be sure to hit me up on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs or Chris Clark NFL. And so I will definitely hit up as many people as I possibly can when I'm there.
I think so. There's lots of question marks to be answered. And honestly, we're not going to know on some of them for a while. So, you know, right now, the biggest question with Kansas City isn't necessarily how they play in their game, because we won't know that for a couple of weeks. But it's going to be, you know, is Eric Bieniemy going to have another job by the time the Chiefs play a playoff game?
Yeah, he's been a really, really hot topic here the first couple days of January. And as we record this, it's Wednesday evening, and he did already complete one interview with the Jets. And the nice thing about this particular week is because his team is still active, the teams have to come to him. So it was in Kansas City. But are you surprised at how much attention he's gotten?
I'm a little surprised. I wouldn't have figured he would garner this much attention. I understand the Chiefs' offense was good. But I think that Reed is the biggest catalyst to that. I'm not saying that Bieniemy is not head coach material, because I think he is. But I wasn't expecting him to get this much attention this early.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Like, I think he's clearly had an influence. Like we talked about earlier in the season, is what was he going to bring to it, knowing that Andy usually doesn't let an offensive coordinator call any plays the first year, the first 2 years, maybe. But in game planning, in setting up what they're going to do for a given opponent, how much influence was Eric Bieniemy going to have? And clearly he's had quite a bit. My big thing is, I think while that's gone really, really well, and he's clearly got the personality to lead men, that's been clear from every player that's had any comment about his candidacy at all. I think what it boils down to, and I still feel like this, and I'm not trying to put any cold water on him, I just feel like most people are going to be a little reticent to pull the trigger on a first time head coach who hasn't actually called plays. And that's what I think it comes down to. I think he'll get a lot of attention, but I don't think he gets an offer.
But let me make this argument, because I don't remember Matt Nagy calling plays in Kansas City very much. And we didn't think he was going to get a job, and he got one. So I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you, because I do think that Reed is still the catalyst behind this offense. But we saw what Matt Nagy has done in Chicago, and I actually think, honestly, that might help Eric Bieniemy's case, because he's still been successful in Chicago. It's not like Nagy hasn't been successful this year. Look at what the Bears are doing. So,
well, and if the pattern follows, Doug left and he goes to the Super Bowl. Matt left. He should go to the Super Bowl against Reed and the Chiefs, right?
Can you imagine that Super Bowl? That'd be something crazy to cover for sure.
And you can thank John Gruden for it if that's the way that it works out, because that Bears defense has come a long way.
And the crazier thing is, look at it this way. You also have a situation where Andy Reid is the reason that Philadelphia is probably in the Super Bowl last year, because they wouldn't have had Nick Foles, because Nick Foles was ready to retire.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, and he's really the X factor here. And folks, we don't want to get off too much on the other teams, because this is a Chiefs podcast. But when all these teams are related, when this coaching tree is so related to the Chiefs, you know, and Foles, I think, is the biggest X factor, because, man, he just gets things done. We didn't really have an opportunity to see him a whole lot in Kansas City. But when he played, I thought he was fine. But what he's done since has been crazy.
Well, and I didn't think he was that great when he played against Jacksonville a couple of years ago for Kansas City. But, yeah, he's gotten stuff done in Philadelphia, and he's the only reason he's in the league is because of Andy Reid. So a lot of questions are going to be answered. Well, maybe answered, maybe not. you know, the question with Foles is, where's he going to be next year? Because it won't be in Philadelphia. And I can't imagine it's going to be in Kansas City, because he's going to want to start and somebody's going to give him an offer.
Yeah, I agree. I think some team's going to use him as a bridge. And I keep hearing rumblings that it could still be Philly. I think that's really far-fetched, but I guess stranger things have happened.
Man, wouldn't that be crazy considering they have Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I mean, but I think it comes down to the health of Wentz and what that prognosis looks long-term. And maybe you need another bridge for his particular injury, for him to get fully healthy. And I guess that makes sense, but, you know, Eric Bieniemy can't do that for you. He can't go on the field. So I think it's great that he's getting this attention. And by the way, he did turn down the Cardinals interview, which I think probably has the most depleted roster of the head coaching vacancies. But if you had to handicap it, who do you think actually gives, if you really feel he's going to get an offer, who do you think that it comes from?
Honestly, I can't handicap it right now. What I will say, though, is it makes sense why he denied the Cardinals or declined the Cardinals offer. I don't think it's just a roster standpoint. I think it's also looking at the fact they just hired a coach last year and they fired him already.
Steve kind of gives you a little bit of shivers, doesn't he?
That too. I mean, I wouldn't want to go to a position where I know that I'm only going to possibly get 1 year, because that's not fair to a head coach.
Yeah, I agree. That's a really tough one. My thoughts come back to who is most set up to take on his personality, who has the least built there. And I think for him, and this is what it comes down to for me, is you have the Dolphins that have a question mark. I feel a giant question mark in Tannehill. You have the Bucks that I think Jameis Winston is the anchor around coaches' necks. I don't think that's an option for a first-time head coach to try to go in there who isn't a quarterback to begin with and try to take that over. I feel like the Bengals are just a mess because of their ownership. To me, it comes down to the Jets and Sam Darnold and having a quarterback that you feel you can build around. Maybe that's the only place that they may actually give Eric Bieniemy a fighting chance of being successful.
I could certainly see that. The question I would have is Eric Bieniemy really the coach that you would want Sam Darnold to have? Because to me, it's not. If I'm going to want a new coach for Sam Darnold, it's going to be somebody that's had a little bit more experience working with QBs. We'd have to see on that one.
Yeah, I agree. You know, let's take a break just because we're here and we might as well. And we can talk about one other wrinkle that could come into it. And then folks, we got to talk about where this defense is, as well as where Patrick Mahomes is going into this bye.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com.
So I want to bring up one more wrinkle because I heard something outlandish today that just kind of threw me off. And it is that there is, and this is from Peter Schrager, of all people, who feels like there's some attention getting thrown towards Kafka, of all people, who's been a quarterback coach for all of, you know, 18 months total, right?
Yeah, I saw that, and it really surprised me too, but he was called a rising star by Schrager. That's an interesting choice of words, I guess. Maybe he is a rising star. I really didn't know it, but at the same time, we didn't know about Matt Nagy before Matt Nagy took over. So it's really hard to know.
Yeah, I agree. And the difference being, in my opinion, is that Nagy became a coordinator, and then he got to call plays for Andy Reid. And I think he only feels like Andy only gives up that control when he absolutely trusts somebody. Not that that Bieniemy shouldn't, but Kafka's like a whole layer removed from that. And I just feel like it's a little premature there.
And I certainly get what you're saying. I really don't know. It's hard to know what, and the other side of it is, it's with Reed's tree, it's hard to know what teams are going to do, because you look at how successful his tree has been. All the players he's brought to the league, all the coaches that he's brought to the NFL, that have been successful. And it's a question mark whether or not, you know, there's going to be another couple coming from that tree. I would imagine at some point there will be, but who knows, and who knows as to when they will be.
Yeah. And I think tomorrow we have to discuss how that tree could consolidate once again. But one other thing that we need to cover today, and that's because I think it's becoming very clear when we look at the year-end statistics of just how right Therese was that the contract year is undefeated. And the D Ford ended the season with the most pressures of any edge rusher in the NFL. And he looks to be ready to get paid in a big way.
Yeah, and he looks to be happy about it. He looks to be getting that franchise tag and be willing to sign it. And for Kansas City, that's exciting. And the reason it's exciting is because I think that really opens up options for them, because they can franchise him 2 years in a row. It's going to get more expensive. But if he's still the most productive pass rusher next year, at that point, you franchise him again and see if he can do it for two or 3 years. That really opens up your options elsewhere.
Well, and I'll tell you this too, the fact that there doesn't seem to be any animosity about taking that franchise tag. Yes, it's a ton of money. It's $20 million. And I think he was pretty forthright in saying, hey, you know, somebody's going to offer you that kind of money, you're not going to turn it down. And that's a very good way to look at it. But I think it also denotes, you know, unlike the Le'Veon Bell situation or anything like that, it's a position that D would like to be in, to stay in this town, to stay with this team. And I think that's something going forward. And just from a personal note, I think it adds another layer, because Justin Houston's been very productive the last 4 weeks. He's actually outperformed in terms of pressures D Ford in the last 4 weeks. So you see him rounding back into shape. And it gives you an opportunity to maybe draft an edge rusher with having three picks in the first two rounds at this point, to try and get another young edge rusher that you feel can take over for one or both of them eventually. Gives you that stable. I think Breland Speaks ends up either going inside or may end up not being somebody that sticks as an outside rusher for very long in this league.
Well, and you say that, and I have to ask the question, is it possible that they sign somebody? Because there's going to be a guy out there that you know would love to play in Kansas City, and Shane Ray. And he has not been extremely productive in Denver, but situation does matter for players.
That's absolutely true. And I like that scenario. I agree with you. I'm sure he would be keen to play here. I just don't think he gives you enough of a boost. I think he would basically put him in another position for the team to be like he was in Denver, where he's the second tier. He's a good backup, but I don't think you want to give him a starting role. But even if it were a year removed and you didn't want to do a second franchise tag on Ford, or Houston did decide to retire or something like that. Although I will say, if you were to sign him as well as draft somebody that you feel can be an impact edge rusher, that does give you a very bright future.
Yeah. There's lots of things that they could do this offseason, and it's going to be very intriguing to see what direction they go because of all the options that they're going to have.
And I will be very keen in spending quite a bit of time on that edge rusher group, because folks, I think we all know, despite Ford's performance this season, that this is the one thing that's helping the Chiefs stay in ball games, and that's being able to provide pressure. They have to maintain that, as well as trying to get coverage guys, and not just any coverage guys. They have to get ball hawks. They have to get speedy athletes. They have to get the athletic freaks in the back end that John Dorsey has missed some in the front end.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to be intriguing to see how they go about doing that, because they're going to have three picks in the first two rounds. They're going to have the ability to go out and get guys. And I'm not so sure that they don't make some more moves by trading people or trading for people at this point. You know, Brett Veach, who knows what he's going to do? He was a lot more active in free agency last year than we expected him to be, and they're going to have even more money this year.
That's true.
So
that's a very good point. And I'll tell you this too, that extra second allows you the ability, from assuming that you're going to be, and I'll just call it what I think, being a 30 plus pick, it allows you to take your first, package it with a second, and move up into maybe the 10 spot or somewhere around there in order to get an impact rusher again.
Yeah.
Or even a quarterback.
Could certainly do that too. There's lots of options that they're going to have going into this draft. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see how they go about fixing or finding what they need for this defense. And I still wonder, with all the moves that Andy Reid seemingly made defensively, if Bob Sutton is on his way out, because you just don't see Andy making those moves in prior years.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's take our second break, and I want to talk a little bit about that before we wrap up for today.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
Now, I like what you're going, and I think what you're getting at is all of a sudden for Andy Reid to step in and come out at press conferences and admit that, hey, I wanted to see some guys that brought some more energy, more juice to this team. For him to actually say that in public, I think is kind of a step into new ground, really.
Absolutely, because he's always let his coaches coach and do what they wanted with their positions, at least it seems that way. And he's always been the guy to let his players play and show their personality. So for him to step out of that and go in a different direction publicly, and that's the big thing for me, is it was public, not necessarily even that it was elsewhere. It was just that it was a public thing. So very interesting.
Yeah, I agree. It is definitely a departure from the norm from what we've seen over the years. And I know the mainstream media are going to tell you, hey, all this is frivolous talking about Sutton. We won't know until we know. And that's absolutely true. But the speculation on my part is because this is clearly the one thing that has to happen in order for this team to move forward. Simply drafting more talent isn't going to do it if they're not used correctly. And I think we've reached the end point where it has to come down to either a retirement or some kind of change. And this gives me an indication that maybe Andy Reid's open to change if it has to be forced.
Yeah. And that is something that he hasn't seemed to have been open to in the past. So that's an encouraging sign. And, obviously we're not going to know for a while. And I can't remember, was it Therez that said that they were real interested in Steve Wilks? I know that somebody reported that.
I think that's Therez's opinion as well as mine. I don't know that he's got any inside info on that.
Well, and whether or not he does, I guess we won't know, but it is something to think about. If they have interest in Steve Wilks, it'd be nice if they could go and do something to bring him as a consultant for the rest of the season to make sure they get him. But obviously, that's probably not something that's an option. But the other part of it is I haven't heard of Steve Wilks' name mentioned anywhere.
It's been very quiet.
Getting another opportunity to be a head coach.
Yeah, it's been very quiet, and I don't think he will. I think it's one of those things where, unfortunately, that organization has tainted him some, whether it's deserved or not. I honestly don't think it's deserved. I thought that defense actually played fine, and what you can do with a rookie quarterback and a line that's, strung together worse than the Chiefs secondary, I feel like he's being scapegoated a bit. But I will say this. The lack of any news on him, I find encouraging in that some team that I think may still be in the playoffs is making overtures. And I've had a lot of people ask me about how it would fit. And we're going to cover that tomorrow, folks. But just know that every defensive coordinator in this league, they have their favorite things, whether it's 4-3, whether it's a nickel base, whether it's the three safety thing that Bob Sutton loves. But they can all coach everything. I think the key is going to be getting a defensive coordinator into the Chiefs organization.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say they can adapt to the personnel.
Yeah. And that's in my mind, I think that would be a great hire for Kansas City. I think that he could do a great job, and you would see a much more aggressive defense, and maybe that changes things for some of the players that we've seen this season. People talk about Anthony Hitchens having a down year. I still say that a lot of it's scheme oriented. He may not fit the 3-4 scheme completely, but I think he plays a lot better if he's attacking like he was against Oakland.
Agreed. And I'm actually going to cover that in the film review this week. Of course, folks, with the holiday, it's going to be late, but check that out. And I think we should go over a couple of the other options deeper tomorrow. And folks, we'll not only cover the defensive coordinator options out there, as we kind of prognosticate about this being something that happens in the offseason. But also look at some of the options, the scenarios that could happen and who may be coming to Arrowhead. I think that's going to be very important, and it's going to hinge on a couple of players in particular. So, I think with that, we'll leave it, unless you have anything else, Chris, for today.
I do think I do want to mention one thing real quick. I don't know if you saw it or not, but the Chiefs schedule, not schedule, but the opponents have been released for the 2019 season.
Mm-hmm.
And, they go to New England again.
Yeah. It is supposedly random. I have asked several people about this.
Well, I saw
supposedly random, and there is no rhyme or reason, but
I saw a report. It's not random that, well, okay. It's not random. It's not as random can be. It's a situation where the AFC East winner was supposed to go to the, or was the AFC West winner was supposed to go to the AFC East winner to in 18 and 19, and then it'll switch back in 20, and they just happened to be the winner for both years. So guess what? You get to travel to New England for a third straight year. And whether or not that will happen the next year, who knows? Because I don't know. It's hard to know what New England's going to do. If you would think Brady's still there, but I can't answer that and feel great about it.
Yeah, agreed. And McMinnie might not be there either. That's something else we should probably talk about tomorrow, but. Yeah, it's definitely a quirk. We'll have to see what happens with it. But folks, for our second day of January, I think we'll leave it there. We thank you for your time. And we're going to get rolling. We're going to develop a schedule for this offseason. Have no fear. No matter what happens with the Chiefs the rest of this postseason, we will be here for you all during, the combine, through the Senior Bowl, all of that, up through the draft, and certainly through that space between the draft and training camp. We have plenty to talk about, so do not worry. We will be here for you every day as usual, maybe in a different format, but we'll talk about that when we come to it. We appreciate your time and effort in listening to us. Hope you had a safe holiday.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.